Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. For those of you who didn't see, we just lit our Advent candles, and we just lit our last purple candle. So this is week four of our Advent, and I don't know about you, but I'm almost sad that it's coming to an end, because I really have enjoyed, and I hope you have enjoyed, the staff here at Living Hope Church sharing the Advent messages with you. I just want to mention now that the last candle, the last purple candle, is our angel's candle. And the angel's candle is a reminder to us that in the Christmas season, we have not only the angel's candle, but we have what it represents, and that is peace. And we hear the words, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we often hear that spoken this time of year very appropriately, because it's found in Scripture in Luke 2:14. And I also hear it in messages, in Christmas plays, and one of my favorite carols is I Hear the Bells on Christmas Day, which has those words included in it as well. But peace on earth, is that even possible? It's hard for us to imagine even now as we see two wars around the world going on in Ukraine and Israel. And realistically, war has been a part of mankind's existence here on this earth, going all the way back to the Old Testament. So when we say peace on earth, that is something that we hope for. It's a hope and a prayer that we say this time of year and all throughout the year, that we'd like to see peace between man. So peace between mankind essentially is the absence of conflict or war. And again, that is something we always hope and pray for. But if we look at how peace is mentioned in Luke 2:14 and other translations, we get a little different meaning that I think it's worth mentioning when we talk about peace. So Luke 2:14 says, may the glory be given to God in the highest heaven, and may peace be given to those he is pleased with on earth. So that's the New Living Translation. In fact, it's only the New King James that we hear, peace on earth, goodwill toward man, just in that entirety. But all the rest of the translations, or most that I found, all have this caveat on the end of that verse that says, to those who he is pleased with on earth. So how do we interpret this? Because this scripture is a message that was given to the shepherds by the angels as they sought out to find their Savior and their Lord. And I think we have to look at the words, to those he is pleased with on earth. So who is God pleased with here on this earth? Well, that's right, Crystal. He's pleased with us. The people who are saved, who have committed their lives to Christ, Christ is pleased with them. For the regenerative, those who haven't given their life to Christ, they don't experience that same peace that we have with Christ. So for us, we have a special meaning to those words found in Luke 2:14. And those words are necessary in our lives, are they not? And we know, going all the way back to the book of Genesis, why those words are necessary. Because as Adam and Eve made the very regrettable mistake of sinning, what happened is there was now a separation between man and God. And that ended the peace that they enjoyed walking through the garden hand in hand and enjoying fellowship with God. So all of that came to an end. And we read in Isaiah 9:6, and we're told of a plan that God would bring forth to restore that relationship that he wanted to have with mankind, that he wants to have with each one of us. And Isaiah 9:6 says this, we heard it earlier today, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So did you hear those words, Prince of Peace? That is who Jesus represents to us as believers in our lives. In Romans 5:1, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the promise that we had going all the way back, well, even further beyond Isaiah, but Isaiah spoke so eloquently about how we were going to have peace through our Savior, Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in Romans 5:1, we just read there how peace comes through none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christmas is the right time for us to experience peace, is it not? I think we all could hope that each one of us know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that none of you have left Jesus out of your Christmas, because if you have, you're not experienced the full peace that you could have in your own life. So I hope and I trust that this day we all have and will experience peace in our lives through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, church. Merry Christmas to everyone. I should say blessed Christmas to everyone. I think that sounds better. So for this morning's announcements, if you look in your bulletin, they're all there. I'm not going to read through them all because there's a lot of them. And we want to leave some time for Pastor Mike to preach a sermon. Couple of things I do want to point out is the annual church fast is coming up. So the details about that are in the bulletin. There'll be a potluck to break the fast on January 21st. There's a men's and a women's conference coming up as well. If you want the details on that, again, I refer you to the bulletin. And then one other announcement I really want to draw everybody's attention to. In the bulletin, there's a flyer, all right? And the flyer is about Ray and Lemyai Kizzy and their beautiful daughters are going on a short-term missions trip, I think 2 or 3 months. Well, I'll miss them too. Trust me. If you don't know Ray and Lemyai, you guys stand up. Right? So take some time to get to know them. They're always smiling. They're always enthusiastically full of joy. So I think they're always happy too, and that's not the same thing, but... they are always enthusiastically full of joy. So they're going on a short-term missions trip. So this coming Sunday, the 31st, they will be selling egg rolls as a fundraiser for their missions trip, right? So, you know, I think it's a perfect time, right? So after Christmas, everybody's tired of cooking and all that, and you could just come buy some egg rolls. Right? And they're awesome. And if you don't like that, then you can ring in the new year with some egg rolls because that'll be on the 31st. All right? So they're a half dozen for $12 or a dozen for $20. If you've ever been to the farmer's market and bought egg rolls, that's a really good deal. It's far better than the price you get at the farmer's market. And I know Lemyai, so they're going to be amazing. All right? And then I'll just tell you up front, I'll take 2 dozen. All right? So, and then without further ado, if everyone would please stand for the reading of God's word. So our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through chapter 2, verse 12. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes to the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd, or who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Can I pray for you?
Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this holiday season. I just ask that you would help us all to remember what the holidays really are all about, the beautiful gift that you gave us, which honestly means everything to all of us, the redemption of all of your creation and each and every one of us as individuals through the birth and the eventual death and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. I ask that you would be with Pastor Mike this morning as he brings your word to us, that you would fill him with your spirit, and that you would just work through him to deliver the message that we all need to hear. And for all of us, I just ask you would open our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears to hear more and more from you. Again, I ask you to bless us all during this holiday season and let us enjoy this time worshiping you and spending time with our families. And just let us all have a blessed, blessed Christmas. We ask all this in the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The new word is joyful Christmas. Is that what I heard? Did I hear that right? Blessed Christmas. I like that. Merry Christmas. It's all right. How did you like the worship?
Awesome.
Wasn't that beautiful? I don't know that there's much left to say. Michael, you talked on the songs. You told us what they meant. We found out they're not just jingles. They are the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful when we sing the Word of God? It is. It is. How many people would say you felt the joy of the Lord here? All right. That gives me some freedom. Now that I know you have joy, I can say what I believe I'm supposed to say. My name is Mike LeClaire. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church. I am blessed to be in this place. Very honestly, I'm not worthy to be in this place, for God alone is worthy. And when he directs us to go to a certain place, or he calls you to a place, we're called to go. And that's why I stand here before you right now. If you're a visitor and you're here for the first time, we didn't even get a chance to freak you out yet. But you got a chance to experience the Spirit's move in this church. And there's a whole lot more where that came from. I'd like to welcome you here today. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. I made just a quick little plug on the fly when we started, but there's something intimate about a Christmas Eve service. This place will be lit up, and I'm going to offend some people here. Like my dad used to say, this place will be lit up like a Polish temple. If you're Polish, that's a positive thing. And everything will be lit. You can come up and have family pictures taken. If you bring family with you, it'll be a nice time. So he usually said that when we'd come home and we lived on a country road. And as we're driving home, we could see our house far off at night because every light was lit on the house. And he would go on a rant. The place looks like, and then he would say that. And well, I think mine was a little more positive than his. Father God, have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, our Savior, is born. Now the birth or the genesis of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Wow, this is about as controversial as it can get. And the controversy goes back to the medieval ages when commentators would want to change, or Bible scholars would want to change the meaning of what this is and what it means. There is a depth to this teaching, and we don't want to deviate from the truth of it. We want to embrace the truth of it, because we have a God who does the impossible. And there's people that don't believe there could ever be such thing as a virgin birth. But the reality is, God is not an ordinary thing. He's not an ordinary person. He is God. They can believe that the resurrection happened, even in the church, within the church. They can believe the resurrection happened. They can't believe in the virgin birth. And that gives us a little indication of what mankind is like. So with all the love you felt here now, I'm going to tell you the beauty. At least I feel like I'm going to tell you the beauty of all of this because of our need. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? Mary and Joseph were to become husband and wife. And they already took care of the legal responsibilities of that, so they were legally married by the law. And what would happen is they would have a period of time, a year usually, for preparations, for being right, but they would not consummate the marriage. They wouldn't come together until after the betrothal. I believe that's the right word. If in this period of time, before they consummated the marriage, they were to separate, it would require a legal divorce, yet they'd never been together. What happened to Mary? The Holy Spirit happened to Mary. And the Holy Spirit came upon her. And she conceived. And what she conceived was to be the Son of God. Commentators struggle with this. They struggle with the idea of her being a virgin. They struggle with how could this possibly be? But once again, but God. And this is of God. And we need to understand the reality of this. Joseph, being her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Why? Because she's now with child. He knows that he's never been with her, and he wants to put her away. But because he's a decent man, he doesn't want to bring the full extent of the law upon her. She could have been stoned in the eyes of the law, the religion of that in that day, as it worked in that day. That's her reality. That's his reality. Crushed in spirit, hurt, until God shows up and speaks to him, because he had already spoken to her. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. That's important that he's the son of David. He comes from that line. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. How did that happen? With God, all things are possible. That which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to Genesis 1, and we read about in the beginning God created, and it says, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. What happened? You're going to find that the Trinity of God was present at creation. God the Father spoke. He spoke by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And what did he speak? He spoke the Word of God. Who's the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. He is the living Word. All three are present at creation. So what Michael shared earlier during the worship, how this all came to be, is so powerful to me. But it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are we a Spirit-filled church? Because the Holy Spirit is alive and well.
Amen.
Why do we worship the Son of God? Because the Son, he himself is God, with God.
Amen.
And what we try to do sometimes is we try to pick and choose which part of God we want to deal with, and we want to get rid of the other parts that we're not comfortable with. And it's usually the Holy Spirit that we're not comfortable with. Why? Because he does weird things in our eyes. He gets freaky on us and we don't like it, and he goes his way and my flesh doesn't want to go there. I'll be embarrassed. When I first became a Christian, the hardest thing for me to do was to lift my hands and surrender to Him, to Christ. This would have been embarrassing. The church I grew up in was not that. And then when they told me to speak in a spiritual language, I didn't really want a whole lot of that. Until I came home one morning and I hear our little children coming up to me and saying, "Sibaku, Daddy, Sibaku." What's Sibaku? Mommy says it. What's Mommy doing? She's praying in the spirit. She's praying in the spirit. The kids are learning from Mommy. That was just flat out weird. I've grown to love the Holy Spirit in ways I never knew I could. I want the fullness of what He has for me. I want it for you as well. But it is the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary. And the same power that created the heavens and the earth and all that there is the power that came upon Mary. Because like Michael said earlier, it was to plant God into human flesh. That's the work that was taking place. And we struggle to believe it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for how you teach us the things we need to know. And it says in Luke 1:34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And that's knowing in the most intimate of ways. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." It was important that Joseph was from the line of David like we just read. That's important because he carries the legal responsibility in the heritage and in the lineage. Mary carries the biological because she too came from the line of David, the lineage of David. Different branches within that line, but from David nonetheless. But the reality is Joseph was the father legally, but he was not the father physically. That was left to a spirit, and the spirit is the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? All right. You don't have to agree with it. You're a fool if you don't. You don't have to believe it. It's hard to believe. But I'm going to tell you what. I believe your life will change when you can grasp this concept and take it in fully. Because then you'll be ready to take the training wheels off and jump into the real faith of what God has in store for you. And consequently for others as well. That's how it worked with me. His name. His name is a big deal. His name, and it says in Matthew 1:21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Why is this a big deal? We started several months ago in the book of Genesis, and we went, I don't know, about 2.5 months going through various scriptures in Genesis, and what did we learn? We learned that we are a hot mess on our own. It began in the garden when Eve would not listen to what her husband said, which was given to him by the Spirit, by God. She wouldn't listen. She eats from the tree. Sin befalls man. Adam joins her in it. He didn't take his place that he was called to be. And now we are living under sin. Christ comes as the second Adam, the one that's going to do it the right way, the one that's going to do it for our benefit. But sin happened. Okay, that's not a very nice Christmas message. Nobody's feeling holly and jolly right now. Well, that's okay because there was so much love given, I can share these things with you. After Adam, sin, it declined. Not sin declines. People decline in sin. And the declining happened after generation after generation after generation to the point where God said, "It has reached its full. I cannot have this anymore. I am going to wipe out the planet." We get down to Noah. Noah is the righteous man on the planet. Sin declines like that. If you were born in my generation from 1959 to the present, you've been around long enough to see decline of a society. The things that were impossible are now occurring at breakneck speed. right now, and I'm talking in terms of just sin. I'm not talking technology. I'm not talking knowledge. I'm not talking about any of that. I am talking morally. And the decline has happened at such a, and it's exacerbating as we move forward. Faster and faster. It's going to come to a point where God's had enough. He showed us once in the Old Testament that he had enough. And throughout the Old Testament, he had to deal with certain cities. He had to deal with Nineveh. Why? Because the measure of their sin reached a point where he was going to destroy them unless the prophet Jonah went and talked to them and told them to repent because he was going to destroy the city in 40 days. It happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, where God wiped out a city because of the moral decline of that city. Y'all having fun at Christmas yet? All right. And he wipes out the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you get caught up in the sway of the day, where deviance has reached its pinnacle, and you want to jump on the political side of all are welcome. All, God wants all of us. He does. But it's not without confrontation of our sin. He confronts our sin. Why? Because he can have nothing to do with it. He sent his son. This is why we celebrate Christmas. He sent his son to be the redeemer and the propitiation of our sin. He sent him to take our place. What was our place? Our place was the same as what the people of Noah got. Our place is the same as what Sodom and Gomorrah got. Our place is the same as to where Nineveh was. And by the way, one generation later, Nineveh declines to the point where they fell away. They've totally fell away from God. This story is such a big deal because of what he has done. I want to sing. I'll even sing Jingle Bells. I'll even sing that, and it has no spiritual boost of any kind. It just feels good to do it. There's a lot of things in Christmas that sometimes just make absolutely no sense. I want to be a part of it. I want to do it. Jane running around 4,000 miles an hour, putting this beautiful thing together with Kevin. Kevin, by the way, what you did there, thank you. I love that. I love that stuff. And then in the office, Jane was here. What happened? Transforms the office. It's all Christmas stuff. No snowmen. I like snowmen. Christmas is such a wonderful time. The shopping and the hustle bustle, I actually love it. It's a challenge. But boy, this is so much more. There's so much more to it. And I want to get to the so much more. And the so much more is that God sent a Savior to you and I. Amen. And he came through the most peculiar of circumstances. Why? Because he's God. And he lit us up. And now I'm off my message, but I'm on to a new one. Stick with me. See where it takes us. I want to come back to the name. The name matters. They called his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. That's what we celebrate. And we celebrate it at Easter time at a fuller extent because we see the fullness of the sacrifice that he made. Christmas time, we don't see it. We see the cute little baby. We see him in the manger. By the time the wise men saw him, he was probably 3-4 years old. 2 years old at least. But we get these pictures in our head of what all the Christmas cards have taught us. And they're a little bit off. Why? Because the Christmas cards are to make you feel good about the season. The Word of God is to make you know. It's to make you know the truth about the season. Okay, so I hope I didn't ruin anybody's Christmas card giving. You know, we got two of them pasted up on our wall. He will save his people from their sins. Let me explain this a little bit. Acts 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Who is lost? Everybody was lost at one point or another. And they stopped being lost when they allowed Christ to come in. They're lost, and their lostness is the reason for the decline in the world. The decline within the church is on us. We should know better. Oh, that you are either hot or cold, but that you're lukewarm. Yeah. Lukewarm is worth being puked out because of the effect that it has within the church. So the church and the world are two different things that he deals with. The world is lost. They're dying and going to hell because they don't have anybody to save them. The church knows who the Savior is, but he messes around and he plays around with how close we're going to get to him, how much we're going to let him in. I will believe this, but I won't believe that because it doesn't fit my style, or it doesn't fit my character, or it doesn't fit me. No, it's you're supposed to fit it. You're supposed to absorb it and let it become part of you. So he sends his son to save because we are all, without Christ, dead in our sin and our trespass. Why is Christmas a big deal? Because Christ came to save us from it. The Bible says in Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What's the gift of God? The gift of God came to the believer, the one who's received him, to cover our sin, to take it away. It sounds like a pretty easy, simple message. It's hard to conceptualize it deep within. We were dead. We were dead until he came in. Well, that's just not a fair message. That's a hard message to give. Yeah, it's a harder message when you don't have it. Amen. And that message is death eternally. Romans 10:13 says, and this is about the power of his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you said Jesus and use his name? Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from me. Save me from my sin. Save me from my wickedness. And then some will say, well, I'm not that wicked. Man, I live a pretty decent life. Yeah, relative to your neighbor. That knucklehead was gone years ago. We're not sinless. We're just better than that. And what is the wages of any sin? It's death. It doesn't matter. I just sin a little bit. You're dead. I sin a whole lot. Well, at least you had a fun life on earth, but you're dead. And that's the rationalization that goes on in young minds oftentimes. That, well, I'm not perfect. You're dead. Because none of us are perfect. In fact, what the law taught us is we can't be perfect. We failed at the law. That's why Christ came. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sin. Why do I like Christmas? Because God sent a Savior. To save what? To save me. From what? From sin. And he came to save you too. Did you receive him? Did you take him? So we got to look at the name. Now, I don't want you laughing at me because I'm going to use words that you know I don't know. But I think I got it right here. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Or Yahweh is salvation. Transliteration, there's a good word. I had no idea what it meant. Transliteration, from Hebrew to Aramaic, the name is Yeshua. The word is a combination of the word Yah, which is Israel's God, and an abbreviation for Yahweh, which I just talked to you about, and the verb Yasha, meaning rescue, deliver, save. This is the name of Jesus. So our son, who we named Joshua, has the same name, basically, as Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean he's Jesus. That means just his name. I was talking with Bonnie earlier today, and we talked about the importance of the name we have and what it actually does carry and what it does influence and affect. So do a little study on what your name is. Based on my name, I'm kind of an important guy. I'm not boasting, just the name it was given to me, but it has some meaning. Apparently, I'm going to throw Satan out of heaven with this name. That'd be kind of cool. But the English spelling of the Hebrew Yeshua is Joshua. So Yeshua or Joshua mean Yahweh saves. The Lord is salvation. Jesus is our Savior. We have to get that. We can't diminish the person of Christ at any level. We don't have it within our flesh to worship him as he ought. We don't have it in our understanding to know who he is fully. The best we have is what we take from His Word as we are moved by His Spirit to get an idea of the grandeur of who He is. Okay, that's a mouthful. But I think you get my point. And what it does to me is it quickens in my spirit where I'm not. Philippians 2:10 says, you hear me say this all the time because I love it, but that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow above the earth and on the earth and below the earth. And every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. He is Lord. Whether you recognize Him as Lord or not, that's on you. But He is Lord. And I surrender to His Lordship over my life, because in it is salvation, and in it is joy, and it is all the wonderful Christmas words that we use. It's in that. Jesus' name. Acts 4:10 says, "And let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," and we're all guilty of that, "whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands before you whole." And then down to verse 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved." There is no way to get to heaven apart from this gift that we're celebrating tomorrow, today. We should be celebrating it every day. It should be Christmas every day. But if I said it would be Christmas every day, you'd come in a month later and say, "We're broke. We bought too many gifts. I understand you don't know what Christmas is." You know what I'm saying? We've missed it many times. I have. I'm a darn good gift giver. I can't wait to see him open the gift so I can say to my son, "I gave your kids better gifts than you did." Sorry. I shouldn't say that about my own son. My daughter. I gave better gifts to her kids than... Okay, you get the point? Big deal. She's given them daily influence of Jesus in her life to them. That's the gift. I think you get the point. Thank you, Jesus. So we know about this act where God sends His Son down through a virgin. He is now born by the Spirit, by the Father. And He is not just any child. His DNA is God. His DNA isn't man. His DNA is God. We need to know that. Matthew 5:17 tells us why He came. I gave you a whole bunch of lists in the Old Testament why He came. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." For you people that struggle, I'm going to say you people because I'm innocent of this one today, not in my life. He came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. For those who love worshiping with the Jew and studying the Jew, I say, hooray. Keep doing it. He didn't come to eradicate the Jew, but to save them. And when we know what the Jews knew, Jesus becomes more alive to us. All right, so Matthew, this book we're reading out of, you know what Matthew was about? He was about the Jewish people. He was about the law. He was about that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, the God that was prophesied from the Old Testament. And he knew Jesus at such a deep level because he goes to that place. So don't be diminishing the Jew. In fact, what we should be doing is praying for the Jew. Because after God calls us home, His job is going to be to the Jew. It's going to be for the Jew. Pray for them. Lord Jesus, I pray right now as I'm thinking of it. I lift up the nation of Israel. I lift up true Israel, that you'd give them the words to speak. But I lift up the nation of Israel, that they would hear, and they would hear from those who would speak your name, and that they would receive it in Jesus' name. I pray for the salvation of the Jew. I pray for the protection of the Jew. And I trust you with them. And I do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And here's what the beauty of God's word, and here's the beauty of a gospel writer or scribe who is very meticulous about prophecy from the Jews. And it says in verse 18, Matthew 5, 18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." So it's a reminder that God came to fulfill the law, not to blow it up or not to say that it's no good. There is so much good in the Old Testament. You have to read it because it pictures Christ. But it will all be fulfilled, every little bit, every comma, every period. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we are doing so good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to chapter 2. And the wise men coming from the east, I gave you a little heads up on that earlier. But now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. My personal opinion, and this is just my opinion, if you don't like it, that's okay. Just the way I see it. But when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the Jews were taken into captivity into Babylon, many of them never returned back to Israel. So they propagated where they were planted. And what were they? Remember, when they were stolen from Israel by Nebuchadnezzar, he took the very best. He took the most intelligent. And I believe that God has gifted the Jewish nation in incredible ways in technology and medicine and obviously in bombs. They're pretty good at those. And agriculture. And they take a sliver of land and are able to produce so much from that sliver. They take... Why? Because God has blessed them. And I believe that these wise men were from the line of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other Jews that stayed in that country. What the devil meant for harm, God uses for his glory and for good, right? And so here they are. And what do? They become strong in astrology. And they become strong in the stars and reading them and what they say. I don't have any clue why that's interesting other than, oh, are they pretty? And I believe it's wise men that come, that are derived from this population, that come with all this insight and wisdom, and they can follow a star, that they know something special is happening. Not just because of the star, but because of what's behind it. The understanding of what the prophets said in the Old Testament, they knew that. It's awesome. It's incredible. It's God at work doing what God does. And we know that Herod is out to destroy the child because he wants to keep his kingdom. He doesn't want some prophetic thing. And he knew enough prophecy to know that this child would be the ruler. And he didn't understand what kind of ruler. Jerusalem was small potatoes. The world was small potatoes compared to the ruler that the Savior would be. And so he sets out to kill him. And he has a connection with these three kings who discern, thank you, Jesus, discern what their heart is. And they go off in another direction. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm going to finish with this so the worship team can make their way up. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented him gifts. Who are these that presented the gifts? It's these magi. It's these people that we believe came as derivatives from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? And they present gifts of gold. Gold speaks to the kingship of Christ. That's what's given to a king was gold. Frankincense is like incense, which speaks to his priestly station. He is the high priest, the ultimate high priest. And these men recognized it. And then myrrh they gave him, which is for the sacrifice that he was going to accomplish. It amazes me to the degree that they understood what this king was as a child. They understood. Why? Because of the word. They understood. They understood because they studied not just stars, They studied the word. They studied what the prophet said. They studied about the things that excited. Who did I say? Matthew. The Old Testament excited Matthew. He knew Jesus as much from the Old Testament as he did the miracles he did when he was here. So powerful to me. And I come back to that question. The Magi traveled, I don't know how many miles, to come see a 2-year journey, to come see this King of Kings. Why is Christmas a big deal? Because it was the day that the birth of the child that he was going to use would become the Savior of the world for those who believe. That we could know him. And his heart is that we could make him known. And do we tell, or are we still caught up in various parts of this world that hinder us from telling because we're afraid or we're embarrassed or shamed, like we heard earlier in the worship today? Do we hold back because of what people will think? And I'm saying, no, we can't be that. He's calling us to great things. He's calling us to great things. And what are those great things? To be working his will. To be about his will. To be about his glory. To be about his work. And what is his work? It is to seek and to save that which is lost. It's a big deal. And it gets shrouded in lights and glamour and glitz and songs and... No, the foundation of Christmas is giving. And it is giving to those who don't have him, the Savior. Now, if you're anything like me, I like to get them. I can't speak for y'all, but I like to get gifts. I've gotten some dandies. And I just like to get gifts. This is the gift that when I got it good. I got it really good. It changed me. I got it so good. I became a fool to my friends. I got it so good. And I was good with it. And I still see those friends even from 30 years ago. And I'm still a fool in their eyes as their lives are falling apart, living by a world standard because they don't have a Savior. They don't even know the mess they're in. And I have the Spirit whispering in my ear, did you tell him? Mike, did you tell him? Well, not yet. I won't see him till Thursday. And Mike, tell him. Figure out a way. You got a cell phone in your pocket. Tell him. Invite them. Bring them. Show them. Why? Because in the end, it is the only thing that matters. It is the only thing that matters. Because when the trumpet blast comes, when the trumpet blast is blown and God says, come up hither, it's going to be those who believed. Who judges that? The one who saved us judges that. Come up hither. And he calls his church to him. What about the rest? Oh, the rest are going to go through tribulation like you and I. We can read about it. We can hear about it. But it makes what's happening in today's world pale in comparison. Last thing, I'm going to close on this. Sorry. What was I going to close on? Oh, yeah, I know you're at the edge of your seat. You want to hear the story, and I can't remember what it was. What was my last thing that I said? Huh? It pales in comparison. No, that's not it. Oh, I like getting gifts.
Okay, there you go.
I'm past that. You know what? I think you have to come tonight to get the rest of the story. That's called a save in hockey. I'll remember it later. I will share it tonight when I get it. My heart right now is that if you don't know who Christ is, my desire is to embarrass you, by having you say, I want to receive him today. I don't want to embarrass you. I want to speak the truth to you. If you don't have him, you're lost. You're condemned already. God sent this gift for this reason, and maybe for you it's for this day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And you're hearing stuff you've never heard before, and you want to receive it because you want to have your salvation guaranteed. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray from here. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I see that one. Is there anybody else? Just raise it up high. Is there anybody else? You say, I want to receive Jesus today. I want Christmas to have more meaning than what it has had for me in the past. All right, tonight, I want to invite you to come here. It's going to be good. It's going to be holy. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a spirit of fellowship. And it's going to be an opportunity to raise your hand. Raising your hand is not the big deal. What's going on in your heart is the big deal. But let us pray together for the one that raised their hand. And if you're praying this prayer for the first time for you, it counts. It matters. Whether I see your hand or not, it's not the issue. All right? So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for being willing to come as a baby. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to go to the cross to pay for my sin, that I might have life. Jesus, I receive you. I surrender to you. Be my Lord and be my Savior. It's in your name I pray. The name above all names, Jesus. Amen. Amen. There will be people up here who will pray with you over anything that you need. Come on up and get prayed for. If you made a decision in your heart and you want to share it with somebody, which we should all do, you come up and do that. Share it with the people that are praying up here. If you have something that's wrong in your body, wrong in your spirit, wrong in your mind, they'll pray for that as well. So with that, we'll see you tonight. And have a joy-filled Christmas Eve and Christmas season. But we'll say that again tonight too. So.